You're listening to Build Peace Radio 2025.
Good morning, bon dia, buenos dias. I'm very happy to welcome you to Build Peace 2025. Thank you for coming all this way. And woohoo!
Welcome. I'm so happy to have this conference in our city, in Santa Coloma.
Bon dia a totes i a tots. Ens fa molta il·lusió des del govern de la Generalitat.
Em sumo a l'alegria de donar la benvinguda amb aquesta sessió i amb la sala ben plena.
Veure aquesta sala plena de gent que ve d'arreu. Tenim gent de Catalunya, però tenim molta gent també que ve de moltes altres latituds i una barreja d'activismes per la pau i d'activismes digitals.
My name is Rita Costa-Cots and I am from Barcelona, so just across the river.
Kwa majina naitwa Caleb Gichui.
My name is Mahmoud Bastati.
My name is Nerima.
Okay, I'm Nilo Mendes.
I'm from Italy, but actually I live in Barcelona.
Hi everybody, my name is Zoya Shojei Sardashti.
Dimitri's here from Cyprus.
My name is Sarah Dola, and I'm from Sweden.
Hello, I'm Joel, a local artist from Barcelona.
Hello, I'm Hakan Choban from Cyprus.
My name is Felix Kufus, and I'm from Germany, but
coming from Italy, living in Florence.
Soy de aquí de Barcelona. Soy de la Universidad Autónoma.
Hi, my name is María Fernanda. I am Colombian.
I'm from Kenya.
Thank you. I'm Salim. I'm from Uganda, by the way. Neighbors to Kenya.
Spain. From Barcelona.
Hello, I'm Carmen. I'm from Santa Coloma de Gramenet.
We wanted to start by positioning the theme of this conference and why we are here a little bit. The theme this year is the pluriverse. Language is a source of polarization, but it's also what we need to deliberate. Languages are erased to control. Languages are also critical to memory. And in this space of technology, language is an enormous source of bias.
En un context global i sobretot europeu, on parlar de pau avui per molta gent és percebut com un terme ingenu i que no respon als reptes que ens afrontem, vull destacar que en aquest context on us trobeu ara els que veniu de fora, per sort, encara, tant a nivell social com a nivell institucional, la pau és un valor que es defensa.
És un període que sentim, no? Un període de canvi de règim consolidat, però si obrim una mica la mirada a què passa internacionalment, des de la política de cooperació, des dels que ens dediquem a la solidaritat internacional, veiem que hi ha una tendència molt preocupant de regressió democràtica, no? De retrocés, no només des d'un punt de vista institucional, i d'espai cívic i d'espai per a la societat civil, per a la llibertat d'expressió, per als drets polítics i les llibertats civils, sinó també de les narratives, no?
All these places globally, very different countries, have in common is that it's toxic polarization, which is short for hate and lies. And that happens in the internet space, it happens in the digital space. It's not just people getting at each other's throats, it's the digital space. It's the big internet, the big digital companies, it's big tech, deciding to reward content that focuses on hate, that focuses on violence, that focuses on dehumanizing people and rewards that content with reach, with visibility, and with money. You are invisible in the internet, whatever you do. It's not about how good your content is. The fact that it's not hateful, the fact that it's not violent, the fact that you're not dehumanizing people makes you invisible. And that's a political choice by tech billionaires that we need to call out and we need to defend ourselves against. Thank you.
Media platforms that are mainly coming from the US, as we know, American-centric, they have been aligned in a very specific politics during the last decade or so. And that's including having positions, even if they are not declared, but in practice, the way that they are doing content moderation the way that they define things, what is allowed, what is legitimate content and what's not legitimate content, to whom the company is doing moderation and to whom the company is not doing moderation.
And while, yes, there have been some worsening trends, I mean, through ownership, through in the US, through a different administration, there's a lot more tolerance on many platforms for hate speech. But at the same time, and of course, AI is probably, I think it was mentioned earlier, is just going to make it much easier to kind of produce the misinformation that flows. But at the same time, we should acknowledge that there are some platforms that are trying to make things better. I see Ravi's here. The Neely Index has shown that it's not universal. Some platforms are making positive, moving in the positive direction and trying to create more social, not create more social cohesion, at least reduce the kind of worst toxic engagement that we see.
Some that ever consider like mobilization for a massive boycott. I'm curious, because that could have been a tactic. We can vote with our feet when we're not succeeding with other efforts to have more equal spaces on these platforms. Thanks.
I think a lot has been said, and it's just basically open up some of the discussions we'll be having throughout the next couple of days. And I encourage you to, you know, learn, engage, share, connect. And yeah, I think up next is coffee.
Let's walk around and see what people are feeling in here and what people are feeling out here.
We're using this mobile set up in order to bring the radio, the sound, where the people are.
So my takeaway is, as we are seated and trying to get solutions and just, you know, coming up with technology, can we meanwhile ensure that the users actually are aware about the existing design solutions that can actually help protect them and that can ensure that the platforms are used responsibly. It was also very interesting to just know and learn about histories around and, you know, the dark histories, but then now we are out here really trying to ensure that the world is peaceful and that we live cohesively. Bilpis is always and like an amazing experience. I always get to learn something new. I get to meet very amazing people. Yeah. The art is amazing. So, there, yeah.
Really beautiful welcoming speech was about how narrative or storytelling can both like bring people together but also divide. And I think in multilingual contexts, it's so important to be more in tune with the ways that we can listen. So a narrative doesn't sound, we don't receive it as sounding foreign.
We're also just overwhelmed with the magnitude of the event and, you know, just an appreciation of the effort to bring everyone together and to have a space for this discussion. And yeah, quite an exciting moment, and seeing these discussions from you know, policy to democracy to technology, and you know, the integration of everything together. You know, it gives hope, and yeah, quite an encouragement also to the organizers, and being able to pull up an event of this size, this number of people from diverse background and different spaces to come together and you know, discuss real issues with that affecting communities in different contexts, and you know, actually coming together and finding the place of technology in peace building and then conflicts and democracy, and you know, the entire you know, conflict resolution spectrum.
I think that, I mean, as we are in a changing world, and changes happen really, really fast, we can try to how to say in English, surfear la ola, like to surf the you know, the ola, how do you say it? the it will come, like to take advantage of some changes and to try to find a way out. We have to be creative.
Perfecto.
Gracias, guapo.
Yeah, you're enjoying the food?
Yeah, it's really nice. Mm-hmm.
What are you having?
Mushroom something, like mushroom cake with nata.
You enjoy the food, eh? Yeah. You're sampling like everything.
Bueno, amazing. Yo creo que es muy importante en estos momentos del mundo donde sentimos que hay tantos valores, tantos referentes que se están poniendo en cuestión. Es muy importante poderse encontrar con personas de otras nacionalidades, de otros países, que también sienten que estos valores y estos referentes, pues que han sido nacionales y comunes durante mucho tiempo, están siendo cuestionados y que es importante juntarse para buscar formas alternativas de mantener un diálogo plural. Eso me ha parecido muy importante.
Muy interesante y que reflexiono siempre que vengo a Build Peace es que cada conferencia tiene su sello. Este año el sello particular que creo que es muy importante es esa diferencia entre polarización y deliberación. Y cómo la polarización nos aleja de un ideal democrático donde podemos tener diálogos y construir consensos y cómo la deliberación nos acerca. Y el profundo rol de la tecnología y de las narrativas que se construyen en plataformas.
Well, my expectations were rather high because I already been two other times on Build Peace, so I knew where I was going to, and I knew it's a great place to gather knowledge and also increase the contacts with other organizations that may be working the same things that you do but from a different point of view, or getting to know a lot of people working in your area.
Well, I'm so excited to be here. I'm super, super excited to be here, to be able to be part of this wonderful engagement. So what I understand about peace, especially being that I'm a peace builder myself, is when you build peace in a society, it makes things very easier. It's very easy to engage with the community members. And sometimes we don't take this topic of peace to be something very serious, but it is very serious, especially me in the with the place that I'm dealing with, the department that I am right now, where we do conflict resolutions and conflict mediation. We come to realize that there's so many things that have been ignored from the community members, and that causes a huge rift between the community members and the society and the leaders. And I think that needs to change, because sometimes it's just good to listen to the people, and know exactly what they want so that you can be able to help and become one community.
This in my local context is not necessarily absence of conflict, but peace to me means that everyone is included in different components of life. So like where people live in social cohesion, a cohesive society I feel is a peaceful society. So
I know people are getting lunch and it's amazing, and we finished up our last session was with the music, and people are able to release themselves. How was that feeling?
Yeah, there you can tell that, music, it's a great way to connect. And I really like the last presentation, because it put out this notion that dancing and the way your body connects with music, it's a great way to break borders and to connect with others.
Child who trembled while your bones fell, and that girl whose mother's hair is missing, and the mother who fainted when she saw her son alive. I'm a crack waiting for the light to get in.
was that feeling when you guys sat down and thought of you want to take build a piece in Barcelona, and we want to invite a diverse community. So how would that look like?
I think for us, the important thing is we know that around the world, there are people in their own communities who are facing really big challenges and really meeting them in very innovative, creative ways. And so for us, the important thing and the reason that we take Build Peace around the world to different locations every year is to really invite people not only from that region, but then our travel fund provides support so that people from other places who also might not have the organizational resources or personal resources to bring them together to share experiences. And what we find every year, I mean, you look around here and you can see people probably from every continent, and it's so amazing to connect with other practitioners who also share the values of really working for change, working for peace, and who are doing that in their own context.
Participation, when we talk about participation, we are talking about redistributing power, and that means like sharing power or giving power to citizens, from government to citizens, and I think that's key. That's because if not, if you're not sharing the power, if you are not actually giving power to the people to shape proposals, to define whatever you are discussing, then you're not going to have this like momentum. You're not going to have participation. To talk about like self-organized processes by civil society actors are also participatory and deliberative and democratic process, and maybe in those processes sometimes those civil society actors they are more capable to engage with the less with the more excluded sectors of a society.
And I'd also say that we have had to be, in some instances, rebellious, where that element of the trust and the openness, and this is still an argument that we still have, where we push back, where it's like young people have to own this process and feel that it's theirs, and not just feel, they are aware that it's theirs. The little wins to young people is super, super important, just to show, because of your feedback, this is what was submitted, and this is what... It's something that you have to work on every single day. Trust, you know, we talk about breaking trust, but building trust also takes almost consistency and the discipline of always standing on the right side, even through the influence, because
also in the civic tech field, I feel that there are a lot of salesperson around, more worried about selling the product, and they don't give a shit about democracy, honestly. Some of them, they don't give a shit. but we have a vision of what democracy should be. We came from a movement that was like the 50M movement here in Catalonia, in Spain, that were protesting for major changes, for more democracy here. And from that civil society movement, we then have started to build that project. So we have that vision on what democracy should be.
At what point do you step out of the movement and just be yourself about your own interests? I come from an African family where it's always said, we have given you protection, we have given you everything you want, and there is no need for you to go out there on the streets. When do you draw the line between going to the streets and actually utilizing the privilege that you have, if you have the privilege anyway?
And how do we step away from the movement? I don't even know what that looks like, to be honest with you. But also remember, before the protests in Kenya, we had used all the avenues to speak to our members of parliament. We called them, we texted them, we told them no to the finance bill, and the protest was the last resort. So we normally don't go to the streets unless we have to go to the streets. And I remember even just a few days before, the president, he just didn't give a hoot. And he was with members of parliament and he was like, no, just ignore those people. And that's how parliament was stormed. But I do think that this is the one chance. I do. I do believe that there are key champions who want to find a way of engaging young people so that it doesn't end up to what...
I say peace in English or paz in Spanish.
Okay, peace in my local language, in my mother tongue. Amani is Swahili. In my mother tongue is kwe. Kwe, yes, kwe. K-W-E, kwe, kwe, yes.
Path.
Path?
Path.
Path.
Build Up Radio the last few years with us, because it started as a workshop in which people could learn how to set up a low-cost radio in their community, which we know is really important because the messages, the stories that we tell, the narratives, and also how we enjoy ourselves with different sounds and music is so much a part of peace and so much a part of really enjoying our rich cultures, right? And exchanging. And for Build Peace, what it's meant is, for example, that colleagues who can't be here with us have a chance to participate and listen. And also we get to hear perspectives from people who aren't facilitating a workshop, who aren't up on the stage in plenary. You're wandering around and asking people questions and getting their impressions. So we get much more of a like participatory vibe. Like, what is it like to be here? What's going on? And all of those perspectives. And I just think it adds so much flavor and texture and color and of course sound to the whole conference experience.
Awesome. We are here in Barcelona, and we've shared the link through our platform in Kenya, and people are listening, you know, so they're able to fast track the conversation and to participate, you know. It doesn't really mean you need to be here, but you can follow the conversation through the Build Up Peace portal, right?
For those who aren't with us, thanks so much for listening. And the Build Up Radio is something that we're planning to be a longer initiative. So if you want to get involved, please do. Please drop an email to radio@howtobuildup.org. And we hope you can join us for a future year. And please engage with us on social media as well. And for all of our conference participants who might be listening in, thank you so much for being here. It's an amazing. Every year the community gets stronger, more together, and more inspiring. So thank you so much for being here and being a part of it.
Hello, my name is Clement Loboy-Lotiang, and I live in Kakuma Refugee Camp, Kenya. My experience of peace in Kakuma Refugee Camp is deeply connected to hope. It is hope that holds our communities together here. It helps us accept and understand one another, even with our cultural and ethnic differences. But because of hope, we face the future with determination. In Kakuma, we are united by struggles we share every day. We all carry the hope that one day our countries of origin will find lasting peace. Everyone here, whether refugee or host, wakes up each day hoping for a better tomorrow for their families, their communities, and their nation. So hope to me is about peace. Hope to me is peace, and peace is hope.